Okay, today is February 9th, 2015. This is the intermediate Pali class, still on lesson 9. Okay, we'll begin with homage to the Buddha. One time. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Okay, we'll be doing the topic of compounds now, and I'm going to share the screen. Okay, and I sent to everybody the link, or I sent actually the PDF file of this book by Venerable Narada called An Elementary Pali Class, Elementary Pali Course, which has a chapter on compounds. Okay, we just got the Duong Yen connection. Who is there? Who is in the... Who is there? Mingjia?
Yes.
Sagara Kantu.
Mingjia Fashi and Hanli Fashi.
Okay. Jishu Fashi?
Jishu Fashi.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, we just started. So you should be able to see my screen. So... And... Maybe please, everybody, now turn off or mute your systems because I'm getting a feedback, a scratching sound. Okay, so I put on the screen, this is Narada Thera's, it's called an elementary Pali class, and lesson 20 deals with compounds. Okay, so this is, first we'll just read the explanation, then we'll go through some of the examples. So the Pali word for compound is samasa, which means literally putting together, joining together. So a compound is composed of two or more simple words. As a rule, only the final member of the compound takes the case terminations. We'll see later what that means. The preceding members, with a few exceptions, drop their case endings and assume their bases. Again, we'll see what that means as we go along. And then it says, the component parts of the compound are combined whenever necessary, according to the rules of Sandhi. Sandhi means the rules that govern joining particular words, particular sounds. Okay, so he says in Pali, there are five classes of compounds. He has adjectival compounds, then what is called case compounds. Copulative compounds, attributive compounds, and adverbial compounds. These all sound rather frightening technical terms, but what's meant is not so frightening or difficult. Okay, here he starts off now explaining with what is called the adjectival compound. This is a Kamadharya compound. This is formed by combining a substantive, that is a noun, with an adjective. Let's just leave it that way. So we have an adjective plus a substantive that is a noun. Occasionally, not often, occasionally, the qualifying adjective follows the noun. Okay, these are some of the examples he gives. Okay, we have the word for a young man. Okay, so if we have these as separate words, then the word for man is puriso, and the adjective describing it, meaning young, is taruna. But taruna would have to be in agreement with purisa, with puriso. So then we would have taruno puriso. Suppose we were to have it in the instrumental case, if we had purisena, and then we had the adjective separately, what would we have? What would we have? Say again. Right. The adjective would have to be in agreement with the noun, so we would have taronena parusena, purisena. Oh, but now, when we make them into a compound, if it's even in the instrumental case, tarona is joined to purisena. And so taruna is not declined, but only the one word, only the compound as a whole is declined. So we have taruna purisena. And so in the form we have here, where we have the nominative taruno puriso, in a compound this becomes taruna puriso, a young man. And then similarly with the case with a young woman, if they were separate words, it would be taroni kanya, but in compound it becomes taruna kanya, because we're just taking the word taruna in the stem form. Then a young fruit, since fruit is not is a neuter, if they were separate words, we would have tarunung palung, but when it's joined, it becomes taruna palung. Some of these, I'm not. I don't really like some of his examples. I don't think that they're good examples. I made up, or I found some better examples from the text. So these are some adjectival compounds. We have dukkha vedana. So if they were separate, we would get dukkha vedana. But in compound, it becomes dukkha vedana. Wholesome dhammas. Suppose we're speaking about suppose we had this in the genitive plural, kusalanang dhammanang. If we make a compound in the genitive plural, what does it become?
Kusala dhammanam.
Right. Kusala dhammanam. Okay, then we have a white umbrella. So the word for white is seta, plus the word for umbrella is chatta. But now when we make a compound, we have to observe, this is one of the rules of sandhi, is that when you join an aspirated consonant with the vowel, then we have to add an unaspirated form of the same consonant. So seta plus chatta becomes seta chatta, a white umbrella. Okay, then a violent or a mad elephant, chanda hutting. Okay, chanda means angry or violent. Hutting is elephant. Okay, then we have the word for a great man, mahapurisa, pleasing speech, piya vacha. If it was separate, since speech is a feminine noun, it would become piya plus vacha. But when we make a compound, it becomes piya vacha. So the feminine ending of the adjective disappears, and it just becomes the base form or stem form, plus vacha, gives us pleasing speech. Any questions on this? Let's see some of the other examples Narada gives. I don't know whether I would consider akusala to be a compound. Anasa, non-horse, amanusa. They seem just to me like negations. Okay, sometimes, now there's a form of compound which is formed by adding a number to a noun. I've often seen this considered a separate class of compounds, not an adjectival compound. So we call these numerical compounds. Okay, so some of the examples given here, we have dve means two, and angulio means fingers. So when they're combined, we get dvangulang, two fingers. A better example, we have the word for three, tayo plus loka are worlds. So this gives us the stem word for three is t plus world is loka. T loka are the three worlds. Let's say chatari sachani are four truths. When these are combined, we get chatu is the stem form for the word meaning four, plus truths becomes satchang. Now sometimes when we form a numerical compound, the compound becomes a singular, even though it's several items within that compound. Like three worlds becomes tiloka. So we could translate this as the triple world. And then the four truths, when we make it a compound, it becomes a singular, chatu satchang. But in English, we would have to say the four truths. But in the case of, say, the five aggregates, we have five plus aggregates. These become panchakanda. That remains a plural. But for the six sense bases, we have cha plus ayatana, the six sense bases. For some reason, the cha becomes a sal, representing six, plus ayatana. So this is the six sense bases, and it becomes a singular neuter noun. But sometimes the plural remains. If we have the 10 directions, dasa, disa, the 10 directions, then in compound, it still remains a plural. Dasa, disa, the 10 directions. Okay, so he gives, these are the examples of the case where even though it's several items, but when they form the compound, it becomes a neuter singular. But then there are other examples where they don't become neuter singular, but they remain as a plural. Well, Ekaputta is, of course, one son, the only son. But when we have the three existences, it becomes tibhava, it remains a plural. Here we have chatasu disa, which becomes chatu disa, the four directions. Maybe I should ask at this point, any questions?
Bhante?
Yeah.
It was not clear how. So here you have dasa disa, and over there we had chatu disa. So could you please explain again what made that difference?
Well, chatu disa. Let me just see this book. Oh, I see. Here he has chatu. Chatasu disa forming the neuter singular, chatu disang. And then here we have the case of chatasu disa forming chatu disa as a plural. Let me just see that. I'm not actually sure that we find this chatu disang in the text. I think we would tend to find chatu disa as a plural. How to tell whether a noun is when it forms a numerical compound, is it going to form the neuter singular, or is it going to remain as a plural? I don't know of any rule for distinguishing nouns on that basis. It's just a matter of conventional usage. So you just have to learn to recognize. You just have to recognize the nouns when you come across them.
So, Bhante, does it always become neuter singular, or like even like a feminine or a masculine? What do you call like a substantive noun?
When it's treated as one set of items, it becomes neuter, singular, neuter. So if it's originally a masculine noun, like the word loka is masculine, but when we have tayo loka to form a compound, ti loka, Then it becomes neuter singular. So the noun loses its original gender and it becomes neuter. But in the other cases where the, in the other type of case, the noun preserves its gender. So here with, say, panchakanda, kando, yeah, the word kanda is a masculine. And so this is the masculine plural. And when it's joined with five, it forms panchakanda. Here it's remaining a masculine plural. But with the sense bases, cha ayatanani, six bases, when it forms the numerical compound, it becomes a neuter singular, salayatanang. Okay, let us pass on. Okay, this is a very important class of compounds. He uses the name Tapurisa. Or rather, he uses the name, the English name, a case compound. But the Pali term for this is Tapurisa. And then this is formed by combining a substantive with another substantive belonging to any one of the oblique cases. The oblique cases are any of the cases other than the nominative case. So it could be accusative, instrumental, ablative case, dative, genitive, locative. Okay, so let's take some simple examples of this. This is what he calls case compounds, but it's best to learn the Pali name for this, because we always refer to it by the Pali name, Tapurisa compounds. Okay, take kama tanha. So here we have the word kama, which means sensual pleasures. Plus craving. So this gives us craving for sensual pleasures. So here we have one noun, kama, plus another noun, tanha, giving us the compound kama tanha, craving for sensual pleasures. Okay, here we have, let us say, arahata magga. So here we have one noun, arahata, arahatship, plus plus mugga is path. So this gives us path to arahatship. Okay, let's say rupa raga equals, here we have rupa means form, visible form, plus raga is lust or passion. So lust for form gives us rupa raga. Well, lust in regard to form gives us rupa raga. I'm just going through a sutta, taking some examples. Okay, we take satipatthana. So here we have a noun. Sati is mindfulness, plus it's actually upatthana, which means setting up or establishment. So that forms the compound satipatthana, the setting up or establishing of mindfulness. And here, because the I and the U combine, so the I drops, the U drops out, and we just have satipatthana.
Excuse me, Bhante?
Yeah.
Also, maybe the, like, raga aji and moha aji, these are also the same kind of compound.
Say again.
Raga aji and moha aji.
Agi.
Agi, yeah.
Meaning fire.
Kinds of compound, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we have raga agi. So this is, means the fire of lust. So here we have raga is lust plus agi is a fire. So this is the fire of lust. Then we have the same thing for dosagi, mohagi. I mean, there are millions of examples. Indriya sangvara. Indriya means the sense faculties. It would be like indriyanang, the sense faculties, plus sangvara is restraint of. So that gives us indriya sangvara, restraint of the sense faculties. Okay, cheto vimuti. Okay, so here we have chetaso means of the mind plus vimuti means liberation. So here we have liberation of the mind. Okay, maybe let's say Tathagata Desita. So here we have Tathagatena by the Tathagata plus Desita, what is taught by the Tathagata, and that gives us Tathagata Desitam, what is taught by the Tathagata. Okay, let us see some of his examples.
Bhante, is Tathagata a compound in itself?
It is actually a compound. It's a compound, I think this would be called an adverbial compound, because it's constructed from the word tatta, which means something like thus, or just so, sometimes also meaning true, plus either agata or gata. It could be interpreted either way. So it's literally thus come, or thus gone.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, in that Chetasu Vimutti, you know, that kind of examples. So you drop those, some of the last words, the last letters. So, what is the the relationship between compounds and sandhi? Perhaps you'll come to that.
Well, sandhi are the rules that govern, how to put this, let me see if I can find one of the grammars a definition of sandhi. I'm getting a lot of hissing noise. I don't know where that's coming from. It looks like, please turn off or mute your microphones unless you're speaking. And I notice that Francis?
I'm having trouble.
I notice that the sound is being accompanied by changes in your photograph.
So I'm just pressing every button because I can't see your screen.
Are you using a tablet or a computer?
I use my computer and I couldn't get anything. I couldn't even get on. So I tried my iPad. And I still can't see anything.
With the iPad, I don't think the sharing screen works.
I flip the camera so I can see part of the screen, about three of your words from whatever you're writing.
Okay, anyway, I'm going to speak everything. Okay, let us go back. Okay, according to Perniola's polygrammar, so sandhi are the rules that govern when joining together the sounds of two consecutive words or two consecutive elements. They're the rules that govern sound formation. So Sunday is not a matter of grammar, but of phonology, the formation of sounds. And so there are certain rules of Sunday will govern the formation of compounds. So we see in sati plus upatana, the u drops out by Sunday and the I remains. Here we have rag agi. So normally if we join two short A's, we would get a long A. But by the rule of Sunday, we're simply dropping one of the short A's, so we get rag agi. And then this happens not by, in the case of Cheto Vimuti, this is not happening because of Sunday, not through the rules of Sunday, but through the rules of compound formation. Chetaso is of the mind. So when we join Chetaso with Vimuti, Chetaso changes from the genitive case to the stem form Cheto. And so we get Cheto Vimuti. Do you see that?
Yes, Bhante.
Yeah.
Wasn't Cheto Chetas?
Well, actually, Chetas is actually the stem form. But when you form a compound with Chetas, it turns into Cheto. Cheto is the stem form in creating a compound.
Thank you, Bhante. This is helpful.
Okay, we can look at some of his compounds, some of his examples. Sometimes I don't really like his examples. Like he has gamagato. He calls this a tapurisa compound, but I would consider this a bahubihi compound, since it's a man who has gone to the village. Okay, here, this is, a suitable compound. Asina kalaho, a fight with the sword, becomes asi kalaho, a sword fight. Okay, the welfare of the world, this would be lokasa hito. But heat, it should be hitang, loka hitang. So this becomes loka hito. Okay, fear of thieves. This would be a fear of a thief. Chorasma bayang, fear of a thief, becomes chorabayang. But I think it would be correctly chorabayang. Oh, that's correct. Okay, chorabayang. Okay, then we have the most familiar compound would be, buddhasa dhammo. Let's say just dhamma. Okay, the teaching of the Buddha. So that would become Buddha Dhamma, the Buddha Dharma. Let's say the community of monks, Bhikkhunang Sangho, would become Bhikkhu Sangha. let us say, a group of Kshatriyas, Kshatriyanang Parisa, an assembly of Kshatriyas would become Kshatriya Parisa, a herd of elephants, okay, these are just a few examples. We have actually plenty of examples of Tapurisa type of compound in English. So let us say tabletop. Okay, what does this mean? But the top of a table. Bookcase, a case for books. A clothes rack. A rack for clothes. A bank account, an account at the bank, right? Riverside, the side of a river. Okay, there are a very few Tapurisa compounds in which the first noun remains in its case ending. One of the most familiar of these is Manasikara. So this is a compound of Manasi, which is the locative, in the mind, plus kara, you say activity. So this is activity in the mind, or you could say mental activity. And then it takes on the special meaning of attention. Another example given here is by Venerable Narada is Ante Vasiko. Vasiko means one who lives. Ante means within. So one who lives within means a pupil, because a teacher, not only a Buddhist teacher, but a professional person like a goldsmith, a potter, a grammarian, a horse trainer, whatever, their pupils would live in their home, and so they come to call the pupil Ante Vasika, one who lives within. Okay, any questions about the Tapurisa compounds? Okay, so now we've covered adjectival compounds. Then I would count numerical compounds as a distinct class. So we have one. Two. Three case compounds, or tapurisa. And the fourth is what they call dvanda compounds. Well, the Pali word, that's the Pali term. Here, he calls it copulative compounds. Okay, so this is like taking two or even more items and joining them to form a compound. Okay, so some of the examples, we could first, let's see how he explains them. So the copulative compound is that which is formed by combining two or more substantives, which, if not compounded, would be connected by the particle ch. Ch means and. So these compounds generally take the plural and the gender of the final member when the component members are viewed separately. But sometimes, if they collectively imply an aggregate, they take the neuter singular. So here we have some examples. So we have chando cha suryo cha. So chanda is moon, surya is sun. So these might be joined to form the compound chanda surya. The moon and the sun. So I can think quickly of a sutta where that occurs. Okay, here we have a good example of this from a sutta. Except I don't agree with the Burmese, of a long U there. I would put a short U. Okay, here, for so long, O monks, as here we have Chandima is also meaning moon and Surya is sun. So long as moon and sun do not arise in the world. So you see, here we have the words for moon, chandima, plus surya, joined together to form the compound chanda surya. In English, we have to say moon and sun. We can't say moon sun, but we have to use the word and. Okay, another example is nara cha nario cha. So nara means men, and nario means women, and so they're joined to form the compound nara nario. And notice what happens, apart from the fact that cha disappears, but when we have the word separately, we have nara is in the masculine plural, And nario, meaning women, also, well, nario then is in the feminine plural. But when we join them, then nara loses its gender ending and its plural ending. It just becomes nara, nario. Let me see if I could find any example of this. Okay, here's a good example. This is from Questions of King Milinda. Okay, so the king says, Venerable Nagasena, imasmin loke, in this world, nara nario supinang pasanti, that is, men and women see a dream. Then this is kalyanang, good, and papakampi, and bad. So in this world, men and women see dreams, good and bad. So men and women, you could also say, you could have said, Naracha, Nariocha. But to make it a compound, it comes out Nara Nariocha. Okay, so these are compounds. These two examples, compounds in which the compound becomes a plural and it takes the gender and case ending of, it takes the gender and, it takes the gender of the last item and it functions as a plural. But there are also compounds in which the two items which are joined become treated as a neuter singular. So one of the most common is nama rupa. So here we have nama, name, or mental, or the mind, and rupa, form. So joined together, it becomes nama rupang, that is, name and form, the compound of name and form. Another is sukancha, dukancha, pleasure and pain, or happiness and suffering. So they might be joined into a copulative compound, sukha dukang, pleasure and pain, or happiness and suffering. And here's an example with even three items joined to form a neuter singular. These are elephants and cows and horses. So here it forms a neuter singular. Elephants, horses, elephants, cows, and horses. Okay, this is a good example. Several good examples here. Okay, so this comes in the Sutta number 26 in the Majjhima Nikaya. So the Buddha raises the question, and what do you say has the nature of birth? Actually, this is a compound itself. This is a... I think this would be a Tapurisa compound, the nature of birth. Okay, here we have Puta Bareyang. So Puta means sons, and Bareya means a wife. So separately, we would have to say Putacha Bareyacha. But instead, they're joined into a compound, which is a neuter singular. Son and wife are subject to birth. Then here we have dasi dasang. So dasi is a female slave. Dasang is a male slave. So dasi dasang would be female slaves and male slaves, so they're joined together to form a neuter singular compound. Here we have Ajja is a goat, and Alaka is a ram. And so first by Sandhi, it forms Ajjalaka, and then it's treated, though it's a plural, but when one forms the dvanda compound, it's treated as a neuter singular. Goats and rams are subject to birth. Then here we have kukuta are chickens and sukara are pigs. Then here we have hati, elephant, gava plus asa. Gava are cows. Asa are horses. And then by Sandhi, Gava plus Asa becomes Gavasa. And then Valava is a female horse or a mare. Okay, so here we have four kinds of animals joined into one compound. Elephants, cows, male horses, female horses are subject to birth. And then here we have Jatarupa is gold and Rajata is silver. And so here they're formed into a compound with the neuter singular ending, Jatarupa Rajatang. So gold and silver are subject to birth. So, any questions about these?
Bhante?
Yeah.
This looks very close to the cage compound.
It's not the same as the cage compound. In the cage compound, Tapurisa compound, we have the two words are in different cases. So we have one word is in one case plus the second word is in a different case. So for example, Buddha Dhamma. Here we have genitive Buddhasa plus, we're supposing this is nominative. Let's say Buddha Dhammo. plus dhammo, which is nominative. Or let's say kaya kamma. So this is, we would call this bodily action. So here we have kayena, it's the instrumental. Plus kamang, in this case nominative. You see, there are different cases.
Yeah, I see that, Bhante. Thank you.
Okay, chora baya. So here we have choramha ablative plus baya. Suppose this is nominative. So fear of thieves. But in the dvanda compound, it's all the terms are really just having the same function. It's like, what did you eat for breakfast? I had bread and butter and oatmeal and fruit. So you see that there's no indirect relation between these terms, but they're all just in functioning in the same way. So in Pali, we would say butter, bread, butter, oatmeal, fruit, as one's breakfast. Do you see that?
So they all have the same case as well. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all functioning in the same way.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Pante, may I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
So the tapulisa can have other cases plus nominative case?
Yeah, I'm only taking nominative as the end because that is the considered the basic form. But we could have it could have any kind of ending. So let us say kaya kamasa hetu. So we could say the cause of a bodily action. So here the compound is in the genitive case. You see, so the final term is in the genitive case.
Thank you, Pante.
Well, we could say, okay. Chetovi muting. Okay, here we have a tapurisa compound in the accusative case. He experiences liberation of mind. So the compound itself is ending in the accusative, but this accusative compound is made up of chait. If we break it up, then we have here a genitive of the mind plus vimuti, which is now the accusative. Okay, suppose we have Vedana Paccaya Tanha from dependent origination. So here we have because of or with feeling as condition. So here we have Paccaya is an ablative ending. But this is a compound in which I guess this is a genitive because of the condition of feeling. You see, so the in a tapurisa compound, the compound itself could end in any case. But when we look at that compound, we have to see what is the relationship between the terms inside the compound. Or let us say, Chora Baya Davati. So, let's say, Davanti. They run from fear of thieves, because of fear from thieves. So you see, this is an also, this is an ablative ending. And also within the compound, chora functions as an ablative in relation to baya, fear from thieves. So they run because of fear from thieves. Okay, so here I have an instrumental, Manasi Karena Ragopahiyati. So through mental activity, or in other words, through attention, because of activity in the mind, lust is abandoned. So here we have the compound is an instrumental, it's functioning as an instrumental. The terms of the compound, we have the first term is a locative in relation to the second term, kara, activity. So because of activity in the mind, lust is abandoned. Okay, any further questions? Okay, I think we should do some reading, and next week I'll do the other two types of compound, the famous Bahubihi compound which here he calls the attributive compound, and then comes the adverbial compound. Okay, so let us turn now to the book, the regular book. Okay. Okay, I put it up on screen so you could see it on screen. Okay, so this is lesson 9, the basic readings. Last time we did passage 1. Now we come to passage 2. So I'll, again, as usual, I'll recite the passage phrase by phrase, then you repeat after me. And maybe, Suki, you could leave your microphone on so that I get at least somebody responding to me. Then I know that people are responding. So, Ahaṃ ko bhikkhave.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're on page 121 in the printed book, but you could follow me on the screen also. Ahaṃ ko bhikkhave.
Ahaṃ ko bhikkhave.
Ahaṃ ko bhikkhave.
Oh, just one person. So, or maybe Francis can recite. Okay. Ekasana bhojanam.
Ekasana bhojanam.
Bhunjami.
Bhunjami.
Okay. So the Buddha is saying, I, O monks, then the verb is bhunjami, eat. Then we have this expression, ekasana bhojanam, which means bhojanam is a meal. Ekasana at one sitting, at one session. In other words, it means that he eats one meal a day. So he says, I eat a meal at a single session. Okay, now continuing. Ekasana bhojanam ko.
Ekasana bhojanam ko.
Ahaṃ bhikkhave.
Ahaṃ bhikkhave.
Bhunjamano.
Bhunjamano.
Appabhadatam.
Appabhadatam.
Appabhadatam. Cha sanjanami.
Cha sanjanami.
Apatankatangcha.
Apatankatamchancha.
Lahutanancha.
Lahutanamcha.
Balancha.
Balancha.
Paso viharancha.
Paso viharamcha.
Okay, so now I'll analyze it. Okay, so coming back to ekasana bhojanam, so a meal at a single in a single session. I, O monks, bhunjamano, What grammatical form is bunjamano?
Present participle.
Right, present participle. And what case is it?
Mm-hmm.
What case?
Is that nominative,
Bhante? Right, it's nominative because it's going with ahang, I. So he's saying, eating the meal at a single session, O monks. Then we come to the main verb, sanjanami. I perceive. Then upabadatang. Upabadatang comes from upa, which means little or few. Plus abada, which means illness. And then it has an abstract ending, ta, which in the accusative singular becomes tongue. So it sounds a little strange if we translate exactly literally, but translated literally and exactly, it would be something like, I perceive little illness. And then the following words are all accusative singular, functioning as the objects of sanjanami. So sanjanami, I perceive. The first object comes in front of the verb, upabadatang. So I perceive little illness. Then upatankatang, almost the same meaning, little ailment, little
sickness,
ailment. Okay, let's say sickness. Then lahutanang means literally tanang, originally means something like a state or a place, and lahu means light. So literally, lahutanang would be lightness. It means lightness of the body. You know, if you get ill, then the body feels very heavy and oppressive. But when you recover from the illness and you're healthy, then the body feels light. So this is lightness. Or we could say ease, maybe physical ease. Then balang, the next word, means strength or power. And pasu vihara means, the word pasu means comfort, and vihara means dwelling. So this means dwelling in comfort. And so putting all of this together, the Buddha is saying, I'll start from the very beginning of the passage. O monks, I eat my meal at a single session. Eating the meal at a single session, I perceive little illness, little sickness, and ease, physical ease, and strength, and dwelling in comfort. Okay, and then the Buddha is going to give the same instructions now to the monks. First, let me ask, any questions about these sentences?
Okay.
See you. Ask first. See you.
Okay. Simple question.
Yeah.
Bhante, like this upper bada tongue. So there is the word abada.
Yeah.
So then, how does this abada? What does that term means at the end?
It sounds very weird in English. It's like saying, "I perceive little." Maybe not so weird. The ta at the end is a little bit like the English ending nis or ship. Like we have the word illness and maybe the word hardship. We also have an ending hood. Do we have a word for illness that ends in hood? Or maybe even that TA at the end is a little bit like, also like the English ending IT, ITY, so we have infirmity. Or debility.
I see, but I got it. It gives that. Okay, the state of that.
Yeah, illness. It's like the state of having little illness, of being seldom ill. The state of being seldom ill would be upabhadata. And similarly with upatankata. So little, few ailments, little infirmity, seldom. Little disability.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay. Somebody else was going to ask a question.
Yes, Bhante.
Oh, Suki, okay.
I have a question about the words. I have two questions. Number one, about ekasana. Asana, I looked it up in the dictionary.
Yeah.
And there were two meanings.
Yeah.
One is like a sitting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's like asana thing. But then again, there is a meaning just directly as a eating.
Yeah. It's actually probably the second one. Eka plus I think it's asana plus here we have bhojana. So it could, you know, it's a bit ambiguous. So it could be that I eat one, but it sounds strange in English, one meal eating. I eat one meal eating. But probably it's actually that word asana, eka plus asana plus bhojana.
Okay.
But you know, that's the way we would break it up. But to put it into normal English, we would just say that I eat a single meal a day.
Okay. One more question, Bhante?
Yeah. Yeah.
Lahutana? Lahutana is lahu plus tana, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the tana begins with the T with the dots underneath.
Yeah.
And I couldn't locate the word in the dictionary.
Which word?
It's there, tana. Lahutana.
Really?
Lahutana.
Yeah, don't forget that the doubling of that T here is because of the Sandhi with Lahu. So what you'll have to look for in the dictionary is simply Tana. It's one of the most common words. I'm sure I'll find it. Let me just look in the dictionary.
I mean, Pitati, I know Pitati, but there's no...
Let me see. Let me look in the dictionary.
Dante, it's on page 90. It's that Tanang, you know, that compound that gives the state of feeling, meaning.
Oh, I see. The glossary of the book. The glossary in the textbook.
No, on page 90, Bhante, we came across this, Tanam.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
At the top of the page.
I see it, yeah. Yeah, it's there at the top. Yeah, it says the forms Tana and Dhamma commonly serve as the second members of compounds with the sense of, in the case of Tana, state of. So this is the state of being light, or in other words, we could say lightness. And then you find it in the PTS dictionary. On page 289, you find a long explanation of the word.
Because it's
289.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's just like the English word. Just like the English word state, it has many meanings. So we could say a state of comfort, or the state surveillance system, the state of war. Okay, so any further questions on the first few sentences? Okay, then we move into the next part of the reading. It's almost the same, except that it's now the Buddha is just instructing the monks. So he says, again, I'll recite phrase by phrase and you repeat. Eta tumhe pi bhikkhave.
Eta tumhe pi bhikkhave.
Ekasana bhojanam bhunjata.
Ekasana bhojanam bhunjata.
Yeah, so now the Buddha is giving an instruction to the monks. He says, eta is the imperative form, second person plural, meaning come, but not asking the monks to come close to him, but it's just a kind of a figure of speech, just like in English. So he's saying, come, O monks, you too. That's tumhe. Eat a meal at a single session, or you too eat a single meal per day. And bhunjata here, again, this is second person plural imperative. You eat a single meal. And then, again, the same thing is said. Ekasana bhojanam ko bhikkhave.
Ekasana bhojanam ko bhikkhave.
Tumhe pi.
Tumhe pi.
Bunjamana.
Bunjamana.
Upabhadatamcha.
Upabhadatamcha.
Sanjanisata.
Sanjanisata.
Apatankatamcha.
Apatankatamcha.
Lahotanancha.
Lahotanancha.
Balancha.
Balamcha.
Paso viharancha.
Paso viharancha.
Okay, so the Buddha says, he said, come, O monks, you too eat your meal at a single session. Then here we have, notice bunjamana here. This is present participle, but notice it's now plural, nominative plural, masculine, because here it's agreeing with tumhe, you, which is a group of monks. Whereas when the Buddha is speaking about himself, he says bunjamano, because he's just one person. So it's a singular. So you, eating your meal at a single session, then we come to the main verb, sanjanisata. This is the future, because the Buddha is saying what will take place. You will perceive, or maybe we'll say, you will experience, it sounds more natural in English, you will experience little illness, little ailment, and lightness, and strength, and dwelling in comfort. Yeah, so everything here is the same except that we have the present participle is in the plural, and the verb is in the future, second person, plural, future form. You will experience. So any questions on this?
Bhante?
Yeah.
So the single meal means, I guess, just the lunchtime, right?
Well, you see, probably in the Buddha's time, they would go on alms round soon after it becomes light, just as the sun is rising. So in our clock, it might be that they leave to go on alms round about 7 a.m. in the morning, 7:30 a.m. Then they have to walk 45 minutes to an hour, get the food, then walk back 45 minutes to an hour. So by the time they get everything set up for the meal, it might be between 9 and 10 in the morning.
Thanks, Bhante.
Any other questions? So we try some verses from the Dhamma. Let's see how much time we have. 8 minutes. Or maybe we'll stop here. And then next week, yeah. Next week I'll finish on compounds, and then we'll try to finish the basic readings of this chapter. Okay, so any questions? Okay, so thank you for attending, and let's end with, we could do either in imagination or to a Buddha image, we do three bows to the Buddha. One, two, three.
Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you, Bhante.